Get things underway on this Thursday like we do every Thursday by getting on the telephone line and welcoming in Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports. Brian, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
We're hanging tight down here in Tampa, Florida. We had a horrific cold front come through and it dipped into the 50s.
Yeah, it was 7 this morning when I got up. 7.
I love talking to everybody up north because the contrast is, it really doesn't even seem possible, but I can't imagine 7 degrees. I just can't, Rich.
Yeah, if 50s, I would have shorts on if we hit the 50s again.
Everybody was bundled up here.
Yeah, well, I believe it. Well, my goodness, here we are getting down to the home stretch, a couple of weeks to go in the regular season in FCS football, and I'm not sure we know a whole lot yet. So let's go back to last weekend, and let's start with this one. What happened to Central Arkansas?
Oh, that's just, I don't know. The up and down thing with the Southland Conference is just majorly contagious. And even though Central Arkansas looked like the one team that could, you know, keep it together and maybe hit 10 wins and maybe, just maybe, be on the cusp of a seed, you know, at least in the discussion, and then, you know, they fall apart. So it's the way that league has been. The Southland Conference is trying really, really hard, apparently, to just have one team in the playoffs. And that's going to be the automatic berth. I mean, they just, every time it looks like one team is ascending, they slip up. So there's 2 weeks left. There's a lot of scenarios there for, you know, a couple teams. The Sam Houston to get back into the picture. You know, we haven't talked about them in a while, really. You know, but in general, the whole conference is just a mess.
So about how many teams do you think have already punched their ticket to the playoffs? Obviously, North Dakota State, James Madison would appear to be in. I think Villanova is probably in now as well, unless they were to completely collapse the next couple of games.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring that up. I'm punching up a piece right now about playoff scenarios of who can clinch automatic berth this weekend, and also just going on the history of, you know, the 2014 field since 2013, what has been the cutoff mark for certain conferences. If you go by that kind of criteria, Weber State and Montana, no matter what happens, have already hit the 8-win mark. No 8-win team out of the Big Sky's missed the playoffs. So you'd have to, even if they fall apart, you'd have to think that those two are in. When you look down the list, you know, in the Big South Conference, really, I think both those teams, Mount Monmouth and Kennesaw, have to hit the 10-win mark to be an at-large, but Monmouth could clinch the lead this weekend, so they could get the automatic berth. Yeah, James Madison, Villanova needs to win one more to be definite, because, you know, they're at 7-3, but it looks pretty good for them, I think. You know, North Dakota State, yes. As I look down the list, you know, there's not too many guaranteed, but I do think this weekend we may have 4 or 5 automatic berths already set, and maybe another handful of 3, 4, 5 teams that have hit the 8-win mark if they're in the Power 3 conferences, or maybe even the 9-win mark in some conferences would punch it. But we're getting there, literally.
Well, and then you've got a league like the Patriot League, and look, I'm not suggesting they should lose their automatic bid, but there's a pretty good chance the winner of that league will have a losing record.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder if maybe there should be a rule in place, and I'm not all big on rules, but maybe you need to hit 500 or better. You know, even if one of these teams is 6-6, well, this is a 12-game season because of the rotation, but normally we have 11. And let's say Holy Cross or Lafayette or Lehigh. How about you need to hit 6-5 at least to get a bid?
Yeah.
Because Lafayette looks like they have a route here to finish 5-7, possibly maybe even worse, and get in on the automatic bid.
Right.
And that just sets up, I mean, somebody in the CAA is just going to get a gimme first round game. And, you know, that's not quite fair. You know, so Yeah, that league's been really crazy this year. The whole league might not have one winning team. That's
right.
Crazy.
Yeah, so, it sure is.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some of the games coming up this weekend. Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports with us. And, well, here's another one of those leagues that's only going to get one team, and we may know who it is after this week, as Central Connecticut hosts Robert Morris.
Yeah, what a story that's been. I mean, first of all, we've discussed this before, Rich. Central Connecticut was one fluke play away from beating Eastern Michigan, an FBS team with twice as many scholarships. And if that had happened, they'd be at 10-0 right now. And, you know, that's amazing for an NEC team. But Robert Morris has really turned things around, too. They were 2-9 last year, and they pulled off a win that I certainly didn't see coming against Duquesne. You know, Duquesne beat Towson in the playoff last year.
Right.
Duquesne's a pretty good program.
Yes.
So it's a big one this weekend. And, I do think that this pretty much should seal it up. However, Central Connecticut State still has to play Duquesne in the finale. So it could get settled if Robert Morris wins this weekend. They would clinch it, or we might have to wait a week for next week to see what CCSU does against Duquesne.
Another interesting game this week as Wofford plays host to Furman.
Yes, that's one of the big three. I think there's three games, and I know you're going to touch on the other two in a second, so I won't get into those just yet, but there's three games that I think have direct effect on the seeding situation. Furman and Wofford is one of those because the other two games are probably going to knock a team out of what I would say is the current seeding outlook, making room for either Furman or Wofford as long as they continue to win. They need to win, I think, both games coming up. And that's why it's so big. Number one, it's going to probably settle the automatic first. But number two, it may settle the number seven or number eight seed and first round bye in the playoffs. So not only is this the oldest rivalry in the state of South Carolina, and they hate each other, and they're about 30 minutes apart in Greenville and Spartanburg, they also have all that riding on the line. So it's a big one.
All right, another one of the big ones this weekend, Northern Iowa taking on the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State.
Yeah, and the big question with that one, and that's one of the two, obviously, South Dakota State is teetering with the injury at quarterback on being knocked out of the seeding discussion, which when you saw them play North Dakota State, you never would have seen that coming. But that's what happens when you lose your stud quarterback. And with the loss to Illinois State now, South Dakota State needs this win. UNI is, in my opinion, a middle-range seed right now and has the defense to win this game. So, you know, I know if South Dakota State loses, they're out of the seeding talk. And that's what opens up maybe Wofford or Furman. If UNI loses, I don't know, man. I'm going to rip up the script and throw it all up in the air and just throw my hands in the air. Because, I mean, that's how crazy it could be. But that's a big one for the national picture.
And then the game of the week, and certainly a seeding on the line, is Montana takes on Weber State.
Correct. That one's big. Weber State can pick up the automatic bid by winning this one this weekend. I think there's certain scenarios, but that's a potential deal. And Montana could throw the Big Sky into a tizzy, and then they set up the Brawl of the Wild next week with in-state rival Montana and Bozeman. So this is a massive one. Both these teams are at the 8-win mark. It's for a seed. Right now, I think Weber State's the number 3 seed. They might be able to make an argument for the number 2 seed if they finish 10-2 over JMU. I think there could be an argument there. So this is a big one for Weber State. It's big for Montana to stay in the seeding picture. Right now, I think they're like in a 6 seed range, and they could bump up with the win. You know, so, hey, it's tough to play in Missoula. So it's, I don't know exactly what will happen there, but I think both teams have a legit chance at winning that one.
Well, here's how crazy, as we get closer to home, here's how crazy the CAA is. And tell me if I'm dead wrong on this. Right now, Maine is tied for 6th in the conference with a 3-3 record, 5-5 overall. Rhode Island this week, New Hampshire next week. Richmond is tied for 2nd in the league with a 4-2 league record, 5 overall losses. But I'm going to say, despite that, Maine is in better shape to make the playoffs than Richmond, because if the Spiders lose at James Madison, I don't care what their conference record is, they're not going anywhere if they finish 6-6.
Yeah, no, you're correct, and they will lose XAMU. Let's just go ahead and say that. And then when you look at Maine, first of all, they'll beat Rhode Island this weekend, and then it all comes down to going to UNH next week. And then, as you and I discussed last week, you throw out the Georgia Southern loss and you throw out the Liberty loss, which it's not like they played horrifically in those games, but FBS losses are tossed, and you're looking at a 7-3 Maine team on a 5-game winning streak to close the year, and a tough schedule, you know. So when the committee looks at this, and this is the year, Rich, where we're going to have, I think, a couple 7-win teams. And granted, this is a 12-game season. To me, it's kind of like when we talk about 6-win teams in an 11-game season. I think Maine is one that looks better and better and better every week. UC Davis has an argument. North Dakota has an argument. These are all teams that they'll probably be stacked against and when they're compared. But I don't know, because of how crazy the CAA is, I don't know how hard the committee will look at the CAA conference record, because so little separates this gaggle of teams. You know, I do think, like, if let's say Albany finishes 6-2 in the league, it'll probably help their case, and they'll hit the 8-win mark, and they'd be in. But in this season, how realistic is it that anybody's going to, you know, hit that 6-2 mark other than James Madison?
Well, I agree. And I do say, I think that's the worst scenario for Maine, is if Albany were to do that, because they'd, even though they lost to Maine, they'd have a better conference record, and they'd have one more win overall. And in that scenario, the CAA for Maine to get in might have to get 4 or potentially 5 seeds to get in. And they might get 4. I'm not sure they'll get 5.
Yeah, I don't see this being a 5, and, you know, certainly not a 6 like last year as far as teams getting in. But the CAA is still one of the best conferences, and I think that will factor into this, that when there, because there's going to be, like we discussed, the Southland. Southland might not get an at-large at all. The OVC, there's no way they get more than one at-large. The SoCon, I don't know that they get more than 2, and more realistically, 1. Well, where are we going to get our at-larges from? You know, you got to get them from somewhere. The Big South might factor in, because Kennesaw could go 10-2, and a 10-win team, they put them in, even though Kennesaw is probably not even worthy. But you're still going to need some teams, and I think you're going to find them in the CAA because of the way they chop each other up. But, you know, so I would count on some 7-win teams out of the CAA getting the playoffs, and I do think Maine is one of those potential teams if they win out.
Well, it's crazy to say the least. Now, I feel like we've said this for several weeks in a row, but I'll say it again. We'll have a much clearer picture next week when we talk.
We really will. I mean, and you're right. And we're not stuck on deja vu repeat here. It's the truth. But, you know, with 1 week left, we should know. We should know a bunch more. So, yeah, we'll be able to really paint a very clear picture going into week 13 for sure.
We're looking forward to it. Brian, enjoy the games this weekend. We'll catch up with you next Thursday.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, Rich.
Always a pleasure. Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports joining us here on Downtown.